Welcome to Textonation. Joining us is Zohaib Ahmed, the CEO of a company called Resemble. Thank you for joining us, Zohaib.
Hey, thanks, Fred.
Tell us what Resemble is all about.
Yeah, so Resemble is a generative voice company. So we help brands and entertainment companies build successful voices and use those voices to promote whatever they're doing or to use them in creative ways.
So tell us how this works. What is it that you've created here?
Mm-hmm. So essentially what we allow you to do is bring in any voice to us, and we can clone it. So we can programmatically look at that voice and then provide a text-to-speech engine where you can type something in and it will render in that voice. We kind of go beyond that by not only rendering the voice, but we give you control over it. So you control the different intonation patterns and speech patterns. So you can be angry, happy, sad, anything in between. And then beyond that, we also allow you to go past languages. So if you have a voice in Dutch, we can do that. If you have a voice in Chinese or Japanese, we can go there too. So yeah, it's like a complete speech experience.
And so what is it that you're doing? You're copying the tone of the voice? What mm-hmm. is it that you're doing here?
Yeah, so basically what we have is like a proprietary deep learning algorithm. And what it does is it takes in just like a lot of data, or very few data, by a lot, I mean like anything more than 5 minutes. And then it's able to learn different speech patterns from it. So it's able to figure out your timbre, how you speak, your fluency, your rhythm, the pitch in your voice, et cetera. And then it's able to map that into existing models that we have built. So, for example, you know, Fred, if we record you for 5 minutes, we can get exactly your voice speaking in your radio voice, I guess, if you use that, and we're able to use that to create more content.
So once you've copied the voice, I could type up a script and this would read it for me.
Exactly.
Interesting. And it can do other languages too, do I understand?
That is correct. Yeah. So the way we approach other languages is a couple of different ways. Our existing customers are able to bring in, or new customers are able to bring in languages of their choice. So voice actors or talent that may speak Dutch, German, Italian, French, you name it. And we could take that native language and clone that voice just like you do in English. And then the next thing that we're exploring and that we've released with select partners so far is the ability to take a voice in one language and then translate that over to a different language. So what that solves is this entire aspect of speech localization, where you may have a brand like yourself, and say you have Spanish listeners. Now you can retain your voice, so your brand stays there, but now you can speak to a completely different audience.
Really, really interesting. And what are the chief applications that you're seeing for this?
Yeah, it ranges across the board. Anything from like old IVR software. So when you pick up the phone and call your telecom company to complain to them, the voice on the other side, we've done studies where certain voices do better than others and people relate to them more, all the way to like contact centers. Again, the relatability in voice is pretty critical. Things like advertisements, especially in like podcasts and radio, it's been largely stale and static. And this kind of enables it to become dynamic, all the way down to like the virtual reality characters and your Alexa skills, all that stuff. So there's old spaces, and then there's some new creative ways that as we open up, people come up with more stuff to do with it.
How did this come about? What's the backstory?
Yeah, so I used to work, you know, if I go with my background, you know, I before this, I used to work at Magic Leap, which was like an augmented reality company. But before that, I used to work at a company called Hipmunk. Hipmunk was like a travel search engine. You go on hipmunk.com, you search, and the whole premise of Hipmunk was the UI was really pretty. It was like a completely new way to do travel search. And we were always exploring different opportunities and mediums to allow people to do travel search. And this is back in like 2014, 2015, we came out with a chatbot named Hello Hipmunk. So you would type in, you know, you could say, I need a flight from San Francisco to New York, et cetera. And this was all through text. And the replies would also come through back through text, through email. And you could add your friends, et cetera. The premise was Hipmunk's character, it was a chipmunk with like these goggles and the scarf. And it would, like, when you do a flight search, it would, like, put out its arms and fly and et cetera. It was like a really cute little mascot for the company. And when we built the chatbot, we really embodied that character into that chatbot. So fast forward to when we started Resemble, one thing that was always on my mind was how much effort we put in to that chatbot where the brand was carried over from one medium, a website or a mobile app, to a different interface, in this case, email, and then Facebook Messenger, et cetera. And if you really look into like Alexa skills or smart speakers, one of the things that kept bothering me is there's always just this Alexa talking to you or a Siri talking to you. It's always like you're talking to this one person, even though you might be talking to Alexa, to Walmart. So at the end of the day, it's kind of weird because you're interacting with Walmart, but it's in Amazon's voice. And that kind of really bothered me. And it kind of came together because we looked at sound branding. So if you sit in the theater and the IMAX logo comes up and you hear the IMAX sound, you actually don't need to like be there to imagine what that sound is, you know, or the Intel sound. So sound branding was already there, except it wasn't possible to do this with speech. That's kind of what drove us into this, was like, this is a huge opportunity to actually give these brands these voices. From there on, it kind of expanded. So, you know, we started off with just these assistants or this conversational AI component to it. And what we grew to was we realized game studios also required similar technology because they were also working with old, like they had a logistical nightmare with handling people coming into studios, down to like radio and advertising, and especially with the rise of podcasts where all the content is always fresh, but you have these segments in between that stay pretty much stale. Even though you might listen to a podcast maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, you're still hearing a commercial that's pretty old, may no longer be relevant at all. So it kind of grew from there.
Well, for people who want to hear what it sounds like, I gave this a try, and here's the result.
What would you think of a computer program that could clone your voice? Is it cool? Is it creepy? The app is called Resemble.
So where do you want to take this? I mean, some people might look at this or listen to this and think, well, it could be used for some pretty creepy purposes.
Definitely. So, I mean, from our perspective, we, first of all, on our platform, we make you record particular lines. And that's kind of how we safeguard against malicious use. On top of that, we also do have a layer to make sure that the first sentence you say, which is usually some sort of consent, matches the rest of the data. So if you somehow like start off with a different speaker and then you move to a different speaker in your data set, we're kind of figuring out that, oh, that doesn't work. And the technology behind that, we've actually open sourced it. So it's available on GitHub. We've shipped like a pre-trained model. Everything works outside the box. You don't need like a fancy computer. And what that model basically does, or that code basically does, is it allows voice fingerprinting. And it works with any sort of audio. So we've tried to take a step back and think, okay, we can protect our platform, but the bigger issue is protecting everyone else. So, you know, everything is possible without Resemble as well. Just like, you know, you can make Photoshop images with a dozen other softwares rather than Photoshop. So with that software that we've, with the library that we published on open source, since it does voice fingerprinting, it's able to actually detect deepfakes to a certain degree. And it's able to do it from the wild. So you can give it your fake voice and then your real voice, and it'll tell you that, hey, yeah, this is fake. And it's able to do that without any watermarking, without any signatures in the actual audio. It's just looking at your voice and kind of fingerprinting it, much like when you go talk to a bank and some banks offer voice authentication now, or just like when you, if you have like an iPhone or a Google device, you know, and only you can call Siri and activate your device. And if I do it, it won't pick it up. So we kind of do the same thing, but we're targeting that library is open to the community, and we want the community to drive that forward and to think about these problems as a larger part of everything. So it's not just the voice, but it's worrying about the distribution. It's worrying about changing the mentality of people, much like with images. You know, you go see a Whopper from Burger King, and you're kind of mentally prepared to look at that Whopper on TV and be like, that's not what it's going to look like when I get it in my hands. It's a lot of education that goes into getting people to think like that, thinking critically about what they're listening to or what they're watching.
Could the technology be used, though, to fool some of these voice print security applications or fool Alexa or Siri?
Yeah, so it's always a race, right? So there's plenty of use cases for better technology, and that's kind of what we're doing. So you can do that, but at the same time, the reason that's open source is because the more data we feed it, the adversarial network also gets better. So it's able to actually discriminate between what's real and what's fake, and do it at a higher accuracy over time. So I'm sure at the moment it's very that library that we have published does a very good job. It's able to catch more than 90% of fakes. But I can imagine as technology gets better, that would also need to improve in certain ways to keep up with it.
Interesting. So where can people go for more information about this?
Yeah, you can visit our website, resemble.ai. And then if you want to talk to me, there's always a little chat widget on the bottom left. You get to come say hi, ask any questions, and we'll go from there.
And people can try it out for free?
People can try it out for free, yeah. You can go on, record 50 sentences, and listen to the magic.
Very cool. Again, it's resemble.ai. Zohaib Ahmed, thank you for taking the time with us.
For sure. All right, thanks.
Now this. It takes a lot of listening to build a better radio, and that's just what the folks at Sea Crane have done. Bob Crane and his crew, nestled among the rivers and tallest trees in the world in Fortuna, California, have made a habit of listening to their customers. And that's just what they've done in building the CC SkyWave SSB, the Swiss Army knife of portable radios. For everyday listening to AM or FM in the yard or patio or on the nightstand, without having to drain a mobile phone battery, it's a great companion. But it is also a companion equipped for NOAA weather information and alerts that can be life-saving. You can listen to FEMA and Coast Guard transmissions, too. Beyond all of that, you can tune into shortwave signals from around the world. It's compact, easy to take with you, and built to last. The CC SkyWave SSB. Click on the link at textination.com.